All right, everyone. Hello, and welcome to this awesome edition of the Toddcast. I am John, as always. With me tonight is Bo, as always.
How we doing, everybody?
And our super, super special guest, retailer liaison for Aftershock Comics, Rachel Freeman. Hi, Rachel. Rachel and I have been friends for a couple years. We'll get into that a little later. She's also probably one of my favorite people to talk nerd stuff with, so this should be a lot of fun. So our normal NDC housekeeping, a couple events we have coming up. The Secret Warehouse Sale Extended Cut is the rest of this weekend. So Friday through Saturday is 12 to 7, 11 to 4 on Sunday. That's at the Warehouse in Elwood. The address is on our website, and it's 50-cent books the whole time, $125 to fill a long box, cash only, and it will be wet. So, like, there's just random wetness going on whenever it rains, and it's been doing that. So make sure you come prepared, and, you know, as things cool down, bring a hoodie. Then we have the Hunker Down for the Holiday sale coming up on the 21st and 22nd. This is the Saturday and Sunday before Thanksgiving. 20% off graphic novels and wall and case books. 60% off all regular price back issues that are in the green fronted back issue bins. And then half off all dollar books, both days. So we extended it to 2 days so that everybody can kind of take their time. They don't have to worry so much about crowds as much. So it'll be kind of cool. Then we have
crowds local... and COVID,
right? Two things that don't go together. Local comic shop day, which is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, the 25th, 50% off back issues, and dollar books. Plus there's some really cool exclusives. I know Bo's looking forward to those, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger ones.
And you know, I was getting ready for you to say something, and I still can't remember hardly. I know we asked about this last, or talked about this last week. I still can't remember some of them that are coming out. Only a few that I remembered, so. But yeah, definitely the Power Ranger stuff.
Rachel, is there anything from Aftershock coming out for local comic shop day?
Well,
let me check my notes.
I don't have anything about that in my notes, so.
Okay, maybe. So. I honestly don't remember if there is, though.
Can't remember.
So, anyway, continuing on. Then we have our Blackest Friday sale. This is the sale that a lot of people always look forward to. It's been doing very good over the last couple of years, so we decided to do the same sale. All locations will be open from 10 to 7. So every single one, all six. Elwood, Cranberry, Butler, Ohio, Mills, and Waterfront, 10 to 7. All of them. And then it's 25% off a qualifying $50 or more purchase. Dollar books are half off. There are exclusions to all of these sales I've talked about. For specifically for Black Friday, things that won't count, like your dollar books, because they're already on sale, do not count toward the $50 threshold. So, and this is a pre-tax number. So $49.99 does not count. You need to buy something else. So a single D&D book is not enough. You would have to get, like, I don't know, a pop vinyl on top, and then pretty much get the pop vinyl free. So that's kind of how that's going to work. Make sure you guys check that out. But that's 10 to 7 all day, Black Friday, all stores. And then all of our dollar books in all the main stores will be half price from then till the end of the calendar year. So come and dig. Lots of fun. So, I had a couple guys from Ohio that are shop owners that had come in to the mills today that I was I happened to run into while I was out there they came in literally just to dig dollar books because they've just been hitting all the stores because they're bored out in Ohio. go figure. I don't know. They're not in such a metropolis as you, Bo.
No. I'm not from a metropolis.
Actually, they're slightly bigger spaces.
Where are
they're from, like, the greater Toledo area.
Much so more populated than
I was
here.
Gonna say, like, they're probably I don't know, man. I bet you they're just as far away from Toledo as you are from Pittsburgh. So yeah. You know, it's touch and go, I guess.
You're kind of nice. John, I used to live in Ohio.
Oh, that's true. Which part did you live in?
I lived in, well, I technically lived in Kentucky. I live right across the border, but I basically lived in Cincinnati.
Nice. You grew up in Toni Moore country. Because that's where Toni Moore and Robert Kirkman are from. That
well, I only lived there for like a year.
No, oh, well, still, still, if you're gonna take credit for it, take full credit for it, Rachel.
I was gonna say that it's not as exciting as people think it is. So I was siding with you on that one.
I mean, but you got some cool shops out there. You have like Up and Away. They're out there. They're real good people. And then you have the Bourbon Trail that's not far from there. Mm-hmm. So. While in Kentucky, right? All right. So we have some crazy nerd news today. DC Comics went through another round of firing. This one hurts a little bit more than the other ones because I know all three of the guys that got fired.
Do you really?
Yeah. I know Fletcher, I know Stewart, and I know Adam. I know Adam and Stewart the most. I know Stewart the most of the three. Because he was our store sales call rep. Like when I was a manager at the store, he would call every week and be like, hey man, what do you need? Like, I got these comics. Here's what came out. What's going on? And we would talk about stupid crap. We would talk about like wrestling and all kinds of things. And I remember going to Comics Pro in Memphis and Stuart being like, dude, you're never going to believe where I'm going tonight. And I'm like, where are you going? And he's like, I'm going to Jerry Lawler's house. I was like, what? So then like when he got back, he was like, look at all these pictures. And like, he showed me like that he had like a Norman Rockwell painting in his house. I was freaking amazed. He has a Batmobile. Like, it's nuts. But it was really hard to read all these. And, like with Fletcher being gone, it's very confusing for a lot of people because he was the head of their events. So does that mean that they may no longer do cons? I mean, we kind of saw them step away as a publisher at New York last year because they really actually the last 2 years they were kind of outside in the foyer, like in the corner, and it was mostly the movie outfits. Like last year was the ones from Birds of Prey. And the one before that was the Justice League. So, like, how do we, like, where do we feel that this is going with all these firings? Like, you've now gotten rid of your marketing director, a ton of your salespeople, and your events director. Like, what do you do? Like, where do we think this is going?
I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere positive, which is unfortunate for me because DC Comics is kind of where I started in comics with Batman in particular. And honestly, like it was the firings had me, you know, kind of like concerned. And then I read I knew about the firings and then I went back and read the first like article Beating Cool published.
Mm-hmm.
And it mentioned that they're going to start, DC's basically starting up some kind of distribution relationship with Walmart. And I was like, I'm out.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I'm a firm believer that Walmart is evil and that they're doing all these firings. They're teaming up with like evil corporation A. And I'm just like, no. And I mean, I'm sure you can speak on the end of how it's affected, like how their distribution changes and changing the company they order from Diamond has like really messed with the stores a lot.
Yeah. So. I mean, we definitely, I think we talked about that when we first kicked back on the podcast, but it definitely was like 2020 has just been crazy. Like, obviously we have the global pandemic going on and then we have DC firing people and then all of a sudden they're splitting from Diamond and then it's, you have to be part of one of these three distributors, two to do comics, one to do graphic novels. Then halfway through it, they're like, oh, you know what? Nope, you only get one option for comics and another one for graphic novels if you want extra graphic novels. So, you know, luckily we had accounts at both. We weighed a lot of the options. We went with Lunar from the get-go, although they don't have as broad of a backstock for graphic novels for replenishments is really the biggest thing that we've seen as the problem.
Yeah.
But it's real annoying because we have to have now two comic days, because now it's, oh, your DC stuff has to be out on Tuesdays. And neither of them, we feel, had the infrastructure ready for that change. Like, neither of us feel like they had the infrastructure for changing out two completely big, or taking on like 2,000 stores. And that was just very, very hard and bizarre. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, just, you know, this idea that like the comic stores are already, you know, there's already a lot of issues going on with the pandemic. I know that New Dimensions is doing, you know, pretty solid, but like there's all these stores that are already struggling, you know, trying to get back to normalcy. And then DC just like throws them this curveball.
Yeah.
And then they're like, by the way, we're also firing everyone ever. And yeah, it was just like, it was just really disheartening to me. I was like, man, I guess I'm going to reread all of the DC books I have and just never buy a new one again.
Right.
I've been thinking for this whole time, even whenever they switched to Lunar and everything like that, I really think DC wants to be like the first comic company to go like digital, strictly digital for comics, which I think is a terrible move from like, DC can do no wrong in my eyes, like I always say, and then they do all kinds of stuff wrong. But like, I really think they just want to be digital, and I think that's where they're headed. I don't know. I have no facts to back that up, but like, it's just like what I've been thinking, my own opinion for this bit of time. Like, they haven't made anything easy. They just keep changing, keep cutting back, and you know, the titles keep, they've been steadily saying they've been decreasing titles, which they definitely have comparatively, but I think they really do. I think they want to go digital. So,
which,
I don't know.
It's funny that you say that, because my friend and I actually had the discussion recently about how we've noticed there's been more and more just overall like digital only releases with not just DC, but like just with some comic publishers in general. And you know, we brought up like, okay, well, yeah, maybe that'll save money on like printing costs and stuff, but like, that's your collectors. Like, what are you going to do at Comic Cons if you don't have any comics? What are you going to have your artists sign?
right.
Like, I'm okay with like digital stuff would be great. Like, I use it when it's something I don't want to own. Like, if I just want a story to read or something like that. But otherwise, there's just nothing like the feel of a comic. So I wish they would kind of. I hope that's not where it's going, but it just seems like it. So for them, everybody else, I don't know yet. I mean, everybody's got their digital stuff, but
right. I mean, I'll be honest. I feel that if they do more move toward that, they should put the stuff that doesn't sell as well in the digital format and do it that way.
What Marvel started doing, and then they started releasing everything again. They just let the floodgates open. Well, I don't understand that. But.
Well, it was super weird. It was like DC was like, all right, we're gonna cut these books and just make the rest of it digital, and then Marvel did that first. Then DC said they were gonna do it. Marvel said, oh well, if you're gonna do that, we're gonna actually print the rest of it. So like, that's why we got the rest of Hawkeye and we got the rest of a couple other books, which, you know, I think is to say something about the health of the industry. I think that's good. But I think DC, I think what we're going to see in DC is a shift. And I've been saying this for a while, that you're going to see them focus on like the Trinity and maybe.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah. And maybe like Flash and Green Lantern, like stuff they have movies with, movies and TV shows with. And then everything else will be digital. Cut it down to like 12 books. And I think that would be
more's
huge.
Not always better.
Like, yeah.
It really isn't. So,
well, like what they did with the last Batgirl issue recently, Batgirl number 50, they introduced I forget what her name is going to be.
Oh, Ryan something. Yeah, we talked about it on the last issue.
But, because they suddenly introduced her in this last issue of Batgirl, and I'm sure it drove up sales like crazy. But yeah, I can totally see what you're saying. Like, here's an issue that's going to be like a first appearance only. And
yeah, by the way, it's the last issue of this run. Yeah. And that's kind of the annoying part, that, you know, they're putting out some of these things to basically just get the sharks and the resellers out.
Yeah.
But they're not really moving it for store. Now, if they cut down the line to like I said, like 12-ish books, that would streamline your your good creative teams, the ones that are actually selling 100%. Books. They can focus on the story. They can focus on a creative team. You don't have one writer writing five different books and, you know, and all of them getting behind and the story's not 100%. Making sense. Like, I feel that if they slimmed it down and trimmed it, it'd be best. And you kind of saw Marvel do it with like the X-Men line. You know, they had a ton of books and they went down to one
still.
And then they went, all right, we're going to add like six more books. They didn't go back to what it was, but it definitely was. It's definitely more than it probably should be.
See, this was going to be in my about one of the books I'm reviewing. I wanted to talk about that X-Men. I think they got so many titles right now for X-Men titles. Like everything's X-Men, X-Sword stuff.
Like Marauders doesn't need to exist. Excalibur probably doesn't need to exist. Like cut it down to like X-Men, X-Factor, maybe X-Force, and that's it.
I'd be okay. I feel like now that you bring that up, I feel like maybe that's like what these companies, like what Marvel and DC might be misjudging when it comes to like sales and what should be digital and what should not be. Because you think about it and you're like, well, there's 20 X-Men books, but like I can't afford all of these books. So I'm just going to buy like a couple. And like, if you overextend like that, then you're going to hurt your own sales.
Right.
But instead of seeing it as like, oh, we're hurting our own sales, it's like, oh, we should just print less.
Right. Right.
You're
exactly.
Literally competing with yourself by having 10 X-Men titles.
Well, that was what DC's plan originally was going to be last year anyway. They were like, we're not going to put out 52 books anymore. And then they were like, we're going to cut it down to like 46. And then they brought down to 46 and they're like, oh yeah, but we're going to put out six minis though. Like, and it's just you're still putting out 52 books.
Their one shots are off the chain here recently with all the Dark Knights books and Metal books. And Jesus, their one shots are everywhere.
Did you see the, I'm sorry, I was cracking up when I saw this comic book title. I haven't read it, so I'm sorry if you read it and liked it. But it's like DC Dark Knight's Death Metal Extreme Hour, and it has three X's in it. And I was like, get out of here.
It's the special Lobo issue, though. It's kind of funny because it's Lobo.
I did not pick that up.
That actually was not a terrible read, though. I'm telling you, that was actually kind of a good read, to be honest.
Oh, my God. So, but I just saw the title, and I was like, I can't.
Oh, it is corny. Yeah. But,
well, it's a Lobo book, of course.
It's Lobo, that's what you get. it's just good for Lobo.
All right. So to wrap things up, we're very sad about the people who lost their jobs at DC because they're very great people. I wish them the best. But we're going to now talk about comics. Because I don't want... Oh, this week. Oh, my God. These books, like... So that, like, some of these were a little rough. So the first book... I'll talk about that one last because it's the Aftershock book. First book I'll talk about is...
Oh my gosh, you bring them out? That's adorable.
Yeah. Well, I use them as reference. Okay. So, Terminal Punks.
I've listened. I haven't watched. I didn't realize you had.
Okay. That's Terminal adorable. Punks from Mad Cave, number one. This book was weird. Like, the art's not super great. The story's kind of a little bit all over the place when it starts out. But it ends up kind of putting itself together where I kind of think it's fun. But it's basically this punk band who is flying to New York to I don't know, like play for a record label or something. And on the same, on a different plane that is going to the same place, there's some kind of virus or something that mutates these animals into these crazy, like killer, like here's a captain that has been eaten with his entrails, right? At another point, like a severed head rolls out of a place. All the while they're trying to think of good names for their band, which is actually like probably the funniest part of this thing. Cause like I've been in that position.
You've had a head roll by you while you're trying really hard to think of a name for your band.
No, like, well, just thinking of names for bands on a road trip. I've done that. Mm-hmm. Like these guys thought of Hot Afternoon Daisy Shits. Let's see. Puke Play. Turgid Baby. And Hello Terrorist While on a Plane. Yeah. And eventually they do like, it's like Terminal something, but they're Terminal Punks is the name of the book. Overall, like, I don't know if I'm going to pick up issue two, but it by the time the two storylines collide, I was like, all right, this is kind of fun, but I don't know if it caught me enough to keep me going. Although the last page has a really awesome like orangutan eating a dude. That I thought was
marmalade.
That was pretty cool.
If that orangutan becomes the main character, though.
Right. I mean, if he becomes like the bass player of the band, that would be cool. And then the other cool thing, though, is they give you like this punk rock playlist to listen to at the end, which was kind of cool.
That's neat.
Yeah, that I thought was kind of neat. But, you know, Mad Cave has put out some cool stuff. Some more hit than miss. And this book was I give it like a 6 out of 10. Solid. It just wasn't super great, but it definitely wasn't garbage. I know a lot of people that would probably find this book really fun. So, but that's my first book. All right, Bo, what you got?
Kind of just in general, not so much, but this is a variant cover because I have to get it because Boba Fett's on it. But the Darth Vader, the Star Wars stuff from Marvel's doing right now, this is kind of just in general. Darth Vader's probably my favorite going on right now. A lot of stuff he's fighting with the Emperor. They're like trying to kill each other, so he's putting them through different tests and stuff like that. So all the stories from – the reason why I really wanted to go over Star Wars because all the stories from Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, the Vader story, Bounty Hunters especially – all just such really good. If nobody's checked them out, they just rebooted kind of in a sense to like a time period after Empire Strikes Back. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they're fantastic. So you have an early jumping on point if you want to start in. Awesome book, and sometimes they're pretty valuable too. So kind of cool also. But
I've heard I haven't read them, but I've heard like, I feel like pretty much every Darth Vader series has been really good.
It just continues. So. It really has been. It's just been continuing to get better. And like, there's just been such a revival with, you know, Mandalorian on TV because everybody loves it. If you don't, there's something vastly wrong with you.
Exactly.
And that's scientifically fact proven, yes, that there is something wrong with you if you don't like that show. So, it's just, like I said, people were attached to that, and it's just everything's like really good to read. So it's been an excellent, by far, bar none, the Vader stuff. And like I said, it's been awesome over the years.
I really enjoyed that Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren mini. That was really good. I like a lot of the Charles Soule stuff, and he's been doing a lot of the Vader. So.
Yeah, even though people didn't really care for Kylo Ren, well, some people didn't care. I kind of thought he was okay, but that story was awesome with him, yeah. So it was really good.
I mean, we got more out of the Knights of Ren in that book than we did in all three movies combined.
Yes, which was good. Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to see more of him.
Right? So. Well, maybe they'll do like a mini movie, like a in-between movie thing. Know.
But they got the new Star Wars book coming out, and I tell people now, order it while you can, because it's probably going to be really good. It's New Dawn, New Age. I know, yeah. I'm going to get this wrong. It's like set in the future. They made reference to it in the Kylo Ren book. That's why those were kind of like expensive there for a piece of time. People's fighting over them. But that's going to be big. So
cool.
If you haven't pre-ordered now, get your pre-orders in at the store or sub, everything like that.
All right, my second book is Iron Man number 3 from Marvel.
That's fine. I don't need a turn. That's cool.
All right, Rachel, what's your book? Fine.
Well, I don't have,
what do you got, Rachel? We still have two books.
So I don't have my cute little stack in front of me. But actually, so what? One of the books I really wanted to mention that I read, one I already know we're going to talk about, which is you know, part of the reason why I'm on here. But I wanted to highlight a Kickstarter comic that I actually read, that I Kickstarted, and it's called Haunting by Phil Falco. And I Kickstarted issues 1 and 2, and I don't have the physical copies yet, but they sent out the PDFs and it was really good. It's the story about this kid who, his name's Bram, and he can raise the dead, but like he doesn't have any control over it. Just everywhere he goes, if somebody died there, a ghost, like a vicious ghost spawns and will just start murdering people. And so like it starts off where he's in this hotel and there's a noise and he wakes up and he just looks so annoyed and he's just like, damn it. And as he's walking down the stairs, all of the people in the hotel are being attacked by ghosts and being murdered brutally. And he just looks so annoyed the whole time. And he goes up to the guy and he's like, you said no one died here. Like the guy at the desk. And he's like, we're not supposed to tell people that. And he's just like, So I'm like, so he's kind of like this punk kid who, you know, like he's kind of a dick. But also I'm like, well, I would be kind of a dick too if like I just, everybody around me got murdered all the time. Because where are you going to go where there's not dead people?
This really sounds like an awkward Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode. Yeah. Like I kind of want to read it when you get it, just to check it out, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, but it's really good. There's a female character in it named Faith that he meets at another inn. And I really can't say much else because the plot kind of really takes off in issue 2. So I don't want to spoil anything because I want people to read it. But it's really good, really solid characters. And like I said, I like this unique story of like this kid that can raise the dead, but he has no control over it. He wants nothing to do with it. And just everybody, like it just murders everybody. So it's good.
It happens.
Yeah.
All right. Now my second
book. Now you can go to your second book.
Iron Man 3.
You didn't get the special variant?
No, I like the Alex Ross covers. Mm. So
true.
This book, the second issue was such crap, but this issue went back to issue 1 good. Like, it's so kind of funny. Like, there's the fun moments, like where the melter is there and he melts his car and he like almost drops him from the like, atmosphere. And there's like a scene where he like goes and stops and talks to like kids in a playground, and then he's flying coach for the first time ever with Hellcat, and then realizes that Hellcat killed herself at one point and he doesn't understand why she would do that. And like then he's just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, you know what, like suck it. So I'm actually, I'm pretty sure she says fuck you in here. Yeah, wow, fuck you, Tony.
All right, Marvel.
And you know, so she's like, see in Oklahoma, and she just puts her headphones on and goes to sleep. But then you find out that Tony has actually been financed and helping construct something for Korvac. And there's a crazy showdown that goes on at the end that is really awesome. And I'm not going to spoil that part for you because it ends on a really cool cliffhanger. But I really like this book. I like the odd issues, not the even so far. So we'll see how issue 4 goes. But I dug it, man. Like it's a different vibe. It really reminds me, chunks of it remind me of the Fraction run, like where he kept going backwards into older and older suits and tries to get away from the tech that he had implanted in himself and done all that stuff when he did Stark Disassembled. So it's very kind of cool because it does that little bit of a throwback, and that's really what I like about it. So
would you say, so it sounds like it has kind of more like, I mean, she says fuck you in it, which is like mature. Ooh, fuck. Which is like a mature word. I was trying to do my air quotes and I just smashed my microphone. Which is like a mature word, but it sounds like it's kind of like pretty lighthearted, like fun.
Yeah, it's very like lighthearted on the Tony end. Like he's very just kind of chill, like normal. and is just kind of takes it one day at a time anymore. He doesn't want to, like, his whole deal is that he gave up the higher end tech suit. He gave up his company, like, he sold it all off. And he bought, like, a brownstone, and he's just, like, living the normal life
now, right?
Yeah.
It's actually not a clone or not. It's Tony Town.
Well, it was the clone, but it's his consciousness. Yes. I believe.
Okay.
Cause he died in something and then they like regrew his body. And then they put his brain in the bot, like the consciousness. Yeah, I'm telling you, it doesn't have the extremist stuff, right?
Mm. Yeah, so. I'm telling you, that first issue with all them Twitter bubbles lost me. I was like,
well, you're lucky because, like, on the third to last page, he deletes his Twitter account, so you're fine.
Oh, I got rid of it. Nope.
All right, what do you got, Mo?
Next, like a combo spot, the Power Ranger books, Mighty Morphin. Ooh, I like and those yeah, they have.
Here's the regular cover of Power Rangers 1.
Yeah, they're also, which.
I didn't read that, but I really wanted to, so I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, the combo, Mighty Morphin came out last week, and Power Rangers came out this week. It's basically, it is a jumping on point. It's kind of a difficult jumping on point, though. It's kind of weird. They restarted the numbering, but the story's still going on the same, which is great. Where Lord Draken, he's set free now, and then there's a new Green Ranger, and nobody knows who that is. So if it's a Green Ranger any time like that, you know, it's big things happening. So, and from what I heard, people might they think it's going to be the Psycho Green Ranger, so that's kind of like a big deal and whatnot. So we'll see if it is, but they make the best covers, like the connecting covers, where these ones are going to go. They always make like these big collages, like out of like 6 to 8 books where you can put them together and make a big picture. And these ones are all the Rangers ever. And you put them all together and stuff like that. So, but highly recommend them. I've loved them from the very beginning. It's always been a solid story. So never filler, nothing like that. Just good story. So,
are they intertwined story, or is it they one book, one is, story?
Yes, Mighty Morphin is just like your, I don't know how to describe them, like the Go-Go Rangers. Like there's a few, Tommy, Kim, and...
Trini?
Tommy, Kim, and Billy are there with like the new Rangers.
Okay.
The younger ones with the Red Ranger, Rocky, stuff like that. And then the... Power Rangers is the Omega Rangers, Jason, Zach, Trini, and it's just those three.
She's in that one.
Yeah, and it's just those three.
That's the one I'm gonna
want to read. And then Draken becomes part of their team now. Not to spoil, but it's already spoiled. Yeah. But he's gonna be part of the Omega Rangers, which is like fucking crazy. But we'll see. Like, it'll be awesome because he's a great character.
I always grab when they do the helmet issues, because Trini and Aisha were my favorite Rangers growing up, the two Yellow Rangers, and so I'm always like, what? Yellow Ranger variant all day.
this is funny. That's been the best thing that they've done with those covers and whatnot, besides the connecting and stuff like that. But I hate to tell you this, they have overdone the helmet stuff now. It's like helmets on every single issue.
When it was
issue,
helmets
like,
with Ninja Turtles, I was like, oh.
Yeah, like.
Come on.
And then they started doing, okay, just instead of they made the covers foil like it was the 90s again. It's just like, I got to own all these, but I'm just getting pissed off about them. So, like, stop making them so I can stop buying them. But I'm still going to buy them, but stop making them. So, yeah.
Help them grow out.
They
Help
actually did get, they did get away. They did get away from that. And there's so many cool variants, but I didn't see any of them. They're just awesome, and they're too expensive for me to buy. So, no. But good read. So,
check it out for sure.
All right, Rachel, what's your second book?
So, actually, I was kind of wondering if either of you read this one. I read Punchline number 1 this week.
I did not, but it is right here. Here's your visual for you.
I'm curious. Okay, so Bo, you read it then.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just sit this one out, John. It's fine. I had kind of conflicting feelings about it. I liked it, but
yeah,
I was like, I feel like it's just Harley's origin, but slightly different.
Yeah, it is. They're trying to make her
very smart. Her, yeah.
Yeah, it is. There is similarities, but there's always going to be that similarity with those two characters. There's never not going to be, at least I don't think. So.
Yeah, I never like disliked her design or anything, but like I'm a big Harley Quinn fan. And so whenever they introduced her, I was like, wow, we already have that.
Yeah, and then she took off and DC's really...
doing the same
thing. They like her now. She's not going anywhere, so
she's the next Harley Quinn, just on everything, everywhere.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like I didn't feel like the issue, like I thought the art was great. I didn't feel like the issue I didn't feel like it was poorly written by anything. I mean, James Tynion's a writer. I just like I felt like I've already read this so many times.
So I don't know what they could do differently with her now. Like, I don't know what angle they're trying to come at, if it's more like they just want to make her more sadistic, like she's trying to make herself innocent while at the same time, you know, doing bad. I don't know. It was kind of, but it was very Harley Quinn-esque. Yes, 100%.
Also, how old is she? Because they kind of made it seem like he met her when she was in like high school, and I don't know how I feel about either. It's a little
seems like she would have to be younger than Harley. So.
John's gonna go double check.
But
no, I'm just gonna flip through because I'm very curious.
Yeah. I thought he met her in college.
Was it college? Okay, from the the aesthetic, I was like, are we in high school right now? Because I don't know how that goes.
I'm pretty sure it was high school. It were a boarding school of some type. Because I remember they did like a little origin type of deal with her previously. I can't remember what it was. And she like killed one of her professors or teachers. So I thought it was a college thing, but I can't remember where that was at.
I hope it was college, because otherwise
I think it was
line that they're treading.
Yeah, I think it was.
You can't tell from that issue.
I can't 100% tell, but I get more of a college vibe. Just from the set designs that they're using for her backstory. I really like the art in this book. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know, exactly. The art's gorgeous.
Yeah, like this is really, really crazy. I don't know. Like, that's a good question. I'll let you know my feelings on it later after I read it.
It's definitely Harley Quinn-esque.
It does look like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So.
All right. My last book, which is the last one in my stack now that we've covered all of my honorable mentions, is Miskatonic number one. From Aftershock.
That's the one I was going to talk about. So now we can talk about it.
Okay, cool. Look at that. We all got... Oh, you got the variant cover.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
He's got the Cthulhu arms coming out of him.
the best kind of arms.
So I kind of got this like... I'm going to throw it out there. It's Supernatural meets Sherlock Holmes meets... Cthulhu. Yes, Cthulhu. Yeah. Is that not the fairest assessment of that book? Like, they go to she's part of the FBI. Hoover sends her to like the weird town. All of a sudden, she's like, she meets her Watson. And then they even mention Sherlock Holmes, and they do Sherlock Holmesy type detective work. And then all of a sudden it's crazy fish people, you know, that it's even crazier at the end. So I really dug it. I don't know if it's really like my kind of book, because I'm not super into like the Eldritch horror style stuff. I appreciate it and I respect it. And there are some, I can take it in good small doses. But I think this is a little too far into that leap for me, just as what I like in a book. But I thought it was good. I really like the art. I love the cover by Jeremy Hahn and Nick Fillard. Philodry. I don't know how to say that.
Philodry. That's a good attempt.
Philodry. He also did the incentive cover with Tyler Crook. But I really like that. I like the color tone they use in a lot of these, like the shading. And like just this monster right here just totally reminds me of like Universal Black Monsters. Lagoon. Yeah.
Black Lagoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
It has a very old aesthetic to it, which is like really, yeah, it's really cool.
Right? I even like this Kaiju score preview in the back. Mm-hmm. Like that was really good too. I actually really enjoyed the art out of that too. So
that looks good. Yeah.
What were your guys' thoughts of this book?
I kind of compared it. I was hoping for more like a Neonomicon, like that Alan Moore book, like Need to Providence and whatnot. That's kind of what I was hoping for, because that was kind of, you know, Cthulhu-esque and whatnot. And, I liked it. I'm going to give the second issue. There were some things that kind of threw me off, a little bit of the politics stuff in it, but otherwise I thought it was a pretty good book. So, you know, but good. I liked it. So
Well, John knows this. I'm a big H.P. Lovecraft fan. So like, if you show me the word Cthulhu, I'm going to read it. I'm about it. So I was like super excited. And then as soon as you start seeing the signs of the fish people, I'm like, yes, here it comes. And then, you know, like John was saying, with the old aesthetic, like the way that it looks like a movie from the 60s, like,
yeah,
I just really like that it's this modern arts with this like old aesthetic. And I thought it was funny, John, that you mentioned that Sherlock Holmes, because I didn't even realize it at the time, but while I was reading it, whenever, Agent, what's her name?
Oh, hold on.
I forget.
It is...
Where is it?
I know.
Agent Keller,
yeah. Whenever she talked, I read her voice in like this quick... like Sherlock-esque tone, and I didn't really put that together until you mentioned Sherlock, and I was like, I totally automatically read her talking like that.
Even in the dialogue, in the lettering, the beats, like where the punctuation is, makes the beats feel very Sherlock.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think I like the most about the book. And then probably like the old school horror vibe. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed the overall idea of this kind of Lovecraftian Sherlock having to do, having to investigate this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I'm with you. I really liked it. Especially like anybody who likes Cthulhu, it's
right
on point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is that time where we talk to our guest and you get to do your origin story. So this is how Rachel got into comics and how she ended up being the retailer liaison for Aftershock. It's all yours.
All right. So I grew up, my dad did remarry, when I was six, but for a while it was just me and my dad and my brother. And, for those years, I watched a lot of Batman, the animated series. And my dad, like, to a point, we still have old episodes recorded on VHS with all the old commercials and everything. It's great. But that was one of mine and my brother's and my dad's. Like, we all sat and watched this show. So it was, like, it was this very, like, personal thing for me. And I loved Batman from then on. Everything Batman. I was obsessed with it. And as I got older, I started reading graphic novels. Which is, I feel like, kind of weird for people, because like I didn't start with single issues. I started with graphic novels, and I would go, you know, to like, we'd go to the bookstore and I'd pick out, like, I'd get like Batman graphic novels and, or, you know, other superhero graphic novels. I was also a big manga reader. So like, you know, that kind of got me into like my collecting and stuff like that. And then it wasn't until high school that a comic book store opened in the mall that I worked at. And I was like, yes, this is my moment. and then I was there all the time.
you can totally mention whatever store that was if they still exist.
Four Horsemen, so. Horsemen Comics and Gaming. Big
shout out for you, Ron. Yeah.
Yep. Love them. Wonderful store in Morgantown, West Virginia. I won't say the name of the other store, but one of the reasons I waited so long to start collecting single issues was because I actually, as a female, I had a very bad experience when I was old enough to start going to the stores by myself. And I went into a comic book store and I was treated very poorly. I was talked to very poorly. You know, like everything that I had to say was like, oh, okay, you know. And so I didn't go into a comic book store for a long time. And then I knew people who worked at the Four Horsemen. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I already know that these people are great. And then like, I was immersed immediately. Started buying single issues all the time. And then I met Todd and John. So another local comic book store owner, John Hayes, who owns Comics Paradise Plus, again in Morgantown, they put on a show in Morgantown, West Virginia. And I don't think I met you the first year, John.
No.
I met Todd because I worked at this convention. And because again, like I love comics, going to Comic Cons, I was a hired hand because I was like, I'll work for free if I get to go do cool stuff. So, but there was one day where John was like, not this John, other John. Was like,
so
hey.
Many Johns.
I know. He was like, hey, can you help out at Todd's booth? This is where it is. You know, he just needs some assistance, blah, blah, blah. And so I went and helped out. And like, from then on, anytime that, pretty much anytime if I was at a convention and Todd was there, I'd like stop by, you know, see if the booth needed any help. Became friends with Todd that way. And then I moved to Pittsburgh. And I was like, hey, I'm moving to Pittsburgh. I need a job. Todd, are your stores hiring? And Todd is like, well, Rachel, here's John. And so then I met John.
Hired sight unseen.
Yeah. So then I met John. I kind of have been working for New Dimension Comics for a few years now, like intermittently. You know, every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, John, any of the stores looking for extra help, you know, or, you know, if John's like, hey, do you have any free time? We're going to be like really busy around this time. And so I kind of just like intermittently work for New Dimension. I help out at Comic Cons. And then one day I get an email from Todd and he's like, hey, Aftershock's looking for an ambassador in Pittsburgh. Would you be interested? And I was like, hell yeah. So now I work for Aftershock, which is nice because I've been reading Aftershock for a while because I really love horror. Again, the Cthulhu thing. So I was like, heck yeah, I work for them. I love their books. So now I'm a liaison for Aftershock. And so far it's been, you know, pretty chill. Obviously it's COVID time, so it's not like I've done any kind of big convention or event. But I'm excited, like, just excited to be part of it. Pretty much, I love comics. So anything that I can be involved in like the comic book world, I'm excited.
Yeah, this really changes your position at the Three Rivers show. So for those of you who have gotten books graded at dropped them off at Three Rivers Comic Con the past 4 years, that was Rachel. She was always a great help with that. So now I need to find somebody else that I trust to do that because you will most likely be running the Aftershock booth, unless we convince like Steve or Mark or somebody to come and hang out. But if you didn't know, like, so when Aftershock's kicked out, they were probably like the tail end of their first wave because they were putting out the trades for Alters, Black Eye Kids. I think the first Rough Riders trade was coming out.
Beyonders, Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Baby like, Teeth.
Yeah. Well, Baby Teeth is just coming out in singles. Like the first issue, I think, just came out. Joe Pruitt and Paul Jenkins did a store tour and they came to Columbus and we were like, hey, if you can squeeze it in, we have a store like 2 hours away in Ohio, like on the Ohio, West Virginia border, if you want to come there. Mm-hmm. So they drove out there and hung out. And I think Bo, you were working that night, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like we all hung out with all those guys, Paul Jenkins and I, you know, bonded over really terrible jokes. And
they're the best kind of jokes.
Right. And we talked Pat Olaf into coming out because he had worked on Rough Riders. You know, Joe Pruitt's been a great guy too. Like that's where I really fell in love with a lot of the Aftershock guys, because they talked to us about how Aftershock basically took the mentality of the later 90s part of Marvel, where like Marvel Knights came out, and they basically took them, like a lot of those guys came from that stable, right? And they said, you know, how do we make these books better? Oh, we need better writing. We need to really write solid books. So that's where like the first wave of Aftershock stuff really kicked for us, and they all did well. And I remember they dropped off like a really awesome graded Baby Teeth variant. And you know, we had probably like 25 or 30 people show up on like a Thursday night.
It was kind of the last second thing.
Yeah, so. I mean, we only promoted it for like a week, and then we all hung out at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was great. Let me stick a Rachel story in here. So I will confirm that Rachel knows what she's talking about, because when she worked for us, there was a day where you were working at the mills, and some guy came in and asked about, I think it was Green Arrow. And he asked, like, you walked up to him and said, hey, can I help you with anything? And he was like, not really. And then you're like, okay, well, let me know what you're looking for, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I'm looking for Green Arrow. And you were like, well, here's this, and here's the new stuff, and if you have any questions, let me know. I've read the book, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, whatever. And then he like walked over to Dell, and then asked, it was like super specific with Dell. Yep. Like, I'm looking for this exact issue of Green Arrow plus this, plus this. And he's like, I don't read the book. Talk to Rachel.
Yeah. I remember that. Cause I was still standing there, and I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah. We have always been very adamant about making sure that our female employees are also treated as well as our male employees. And you know, it is terrible that stereotype, that people in general are like that, especially in the comic world, because there's so many good women creators, there's so many good publisher like advocates, there's so many people that like run publishing companies. Like Lisa Wu is one of my favorite people in the whole world. She used to work for Aftershock. You know, there's so many.
I met her at a convention once. She was super nice.
Yeah, she is. She is super, super awesome. I helped her track down an issue. I think it was of Justice League, I think. And the bad guy in the book was named the Wu. it was awesome. All right. So what does, like, obviously Bo and I already talked about some Aftershock stuff. You know, I also loved like Jimmy's Bastards and Backways and Strayer. Bo, what are some of the other books that you've read from Aftershock?
Because I got this from Waterfront, because thank you, Waterfront, for hooking me up, because I didn't get this cover, and this is one of the coolest looking covers.
It really
but
is.
We Live, like, this is my new fave, like, home run here with this, with this book with me. And then the other one I really liked, and a new big movie bit, Undone by Blood, that was good. So that's big for Aftershock too and whatnot. But there's been a quality, and then like I said, Aftershock, the quality of Aftershock book is by far the best in the business, at least in my opinion right now.
Oh, I liked
which we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was talking about We Will Live. Yeah. We Live.
I think We Live is on like its fourth printing or something like that.
It's great. It's selling.
Yeah. I also liked Artemis the Assassin and the Assassin. That was really good. Oh man, there's something else, and I'm gonna maybe I did say Black Eye Kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You mentioned it.
Chose book. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was like an early one, but that one. Man, that one, I really like that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
One
was really good. And obviously Rough Riders, because I got to give Pat Olive some love. I actually had him do a cosplay sketch where I had him have Beta Ray Bill dressed like Teddy Roosevelt and Teddy Roosevelt dressed like Beta Ray Bill because he had done both of those books, and I thought it was funny. So that's like one of my personally favorite books I own ever, sketch wise. But what's new at Aftershock? What's going on? Cause I feel you guys are kind of kicking back on the main role of everything's back to full speed. You guys did that great SOS book, the Save Our Shops book. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That one was really exciting. And just, cause that was before I remember, like, cause I saw that book before I got involved in Aftershock. And that was one of the things that I was like, wow, I love, like, that company, like, that company's awesome. And then I think it was a little while later that it came up that I could be involved. And I was like, yeah. But yeah, when that book came out, I was like, oh my God, like, look at what they're doing for the shops. Like, what a great company. Nobody else is doing this. And, yeah.
That's the truth. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. No one else did it, you know. Mm-hmm. Not like the Aftershock did. That was cool.
Yeah.
So there's obviously, like you mentioned, We Live. That's like the known big one right now. Like We Live is fantastic. Again, it's on like its fourth printing or something. So if you haven't read it, whoever's listening / watching, you really should, because like fourth printing's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And like we already talked about, Miskatonic is another big one that I think it's going to be really good. It just came out, so easy to find. Red Atlantis, that one is about a journalism student who kind of gets mixed up in this investigation that's going on. There's like Russian terrorists, and there's espionage and treason, and I have to say the first issue, like, I was a little confused, but it picks up really fast, in my opinion.
And that came out last week, right?
Yeah, that came out last week. So yeah, that's I
still have it in my stack to read. I haven't got to read it yet, so.
Yeah, that was one that, like, at first, you know, you're like, what's going on? Because, like, cell phones look start, good. Like, yeah. It's like, it starts off and there's, like, cell phones that are, like, making people go crazy. And then all the people start murdering each other. And again, like, horror fans. So I'm like, all right, let's do this. So that one's a good one. Like you mentioned, Undone by Blood, volume one came out, I believe, last week. I think is when the first volume came out. Yeah, it did. Yeah. So... again, good time to jump on that book. Another really big one that you're going to want to read. And the one that's coming up that's kind of a big one is Piecemeal. I don't know if you guys have even heard about this. I believe it will be in FOCs next week. But it's going to be a horror project with Cullen Bunn, which I'm a big Cullen Bunn fan.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've just did the pre-order on it, but if it hasn't come on FSC yet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're kind of heading it, but it's going to be like, they described it as a horror novella graphic novel, which I think is really cool, but it's kind of going to be this series. Let's see. So I'm just going to read you the excerpt because obviously I haven't read it yet. The story of five teens who are on the verge of starting their adult lives and going their separate ways. As they visit a local haunted site, they make a startling discovery, a human brain floating in a jar full of disgusting liquid, which that's an H.P. Lovecraft reference if I've ever heard one.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. And it's going to be a 48 page one-off release. And then it's kind of going to, like I said, develop into like this series from there. but I just like this aspect of this like graphic novel horror novella.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Oh, I would
but
be
that's
very...
the one to be on the lookout for.
I'd be
now.
I...
Is that going to be like the? I'm sorry to interrupt, John. Like the bigger. Like they do some awesome story, or you guys do some awesome stories, like the hardcover, kind of one shots, but they're just like original graphic novels. Jeez, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. They do like, and they're a lot bigger books. Have you ever seen them, John? Mm-hmm. Like Garth Ennis
I've seen...
has done a few, like his war stories is on there.
Yeah. I forget
well, they did called. The they did the about. Bigger size version of like Screaming Eagles, but Screaming Eagles
yeah,
came out as
they...
single small. But yeah, I think he did a didn't. I think he did another book like that yeah, that they yeah.
Blue. Sky Blue, I can't remember. Dang, but those are cool because I know a few of them that just like original graphic novels, and it was pretty well received.
I mean,
so.
I'm not sure. I do know this one. You know, it's a four. It's 48. I know the page count. I know it's 48 pages, and that it'll be $6.99. But I'm not sure what.
Yeah, that'll be just.
A, it'll be unfortunately.
Be a bigger book.
I'm gonna catch holy hell if I don't mention Animosity for Tim.
Oh
Hibbard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because. Because Tim Hibbard's like somewhere is screaming, going, animosity, talk about animosity. But I also remembered Bad Reception was another one that was really good.
Bad Reception was good. Did you read Dark Ark?
That was the last one. You mentioned Colin Bunn, and I was like, oh, yeah. He did two different volumes of Dark Ark.
Mm-hmm. I've just read the first big volume so far. So that was good, though.
That's good.
But I'm waiting to see if Baby Teeth, like, it's not done yet. So mm-hmm. Donnie Cates needs to stop doing some Marvel stuff and, you know, and Image stuff and go back and
finish this.
Finish some Baby Teeth stuff. That was a cool story. So
I agree. So. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're kind of getting to the end. So I have three ridiculous questions for Rachel. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My new little cat is in here, and if she gets close enough, I'm trying to grab her so you can see her. But she's
I keep seeing like her
that's
shadow
keep,
and her tail.
That's why I keep turning around.
It's awesome. I saw the pictures on Instagram, so it's fine.
Yeah.
all right. So, who is your favorite Batgirl and why? That's question one.
All right. Can I answer this, or is it going to be a debate, John?
No. This is us asking you. Now okay. we can tell who ours are if we want.
That's fine.
But we're asking you first.
Well, yours is wrong, so it's fine. my favorite Batgirl is Barbara Gordon. And that is again a lot of that goes back to the animated series, where watching with my dad and my brother, and watching Batman and Robin and. You know, like I grew up pretty tomboyish. And my brother would be Batman, I'd be Robin. You know, we would watch other superhero stuff, and I was always, you know, the female version of some male character. And then Batgirl showed up, and I was like, her. I'm her. That's who I am now. And so she just always had this special place in my heart. I loved like that she was sassy and smart and, you know, just as good as everybody else. And then I started reading comics. Like for instance, when I read The Killing Joke and she got shot, like I was devastated. It hurt me. I was so upset. And then they made it canon and she became Oracle, and she was like just as cool, if not cooler, because it's like, okay, how do I keep being a superhero? And just like everything about her character is so like, she's just so smart. And yeah. I always loved that, you know, she was a badass and she could fight, but she was like, she was brains. She was so much more than that. And again, as a kid, I loved that, no offense to Wonder Woman, because I love Wonder Woman too, but Batgirl has always had like a full body suit. And, you know, when she came back, I know a lot of people were mad about it when she came back in the New 52 and, you know, she got the use of her legs back, but like, I loved it. I loved that she was back as Batgirl, but she was scared because what if I get hurt again? And like, I felt that too, because like I grew up and I was an athlete and I messed up my shoulder really bad one time. And after that, there was a while where like I was scared to go all out again. And reading her do it, it was like really motivating for me. And again, because she was my favorite Batgirl, like I was so excited for her to be back. And again, going back to her suit, she's wearing like padded armor, just like everybody else. And I don't know, like people are like, oh, she's just the female counterpart of Batman. And I'm like, no, she's so much more than that. Like if you read her, she's so much more than that. I just like, I think Barbara's just such a powerful character and I love her. And whether she's Batgirl or Oracle or whatever, I'm gonna read her and she's gonna be my favorite.
Cool.
And fun story that John knows. I think you were there. Were you there the day this happened? So I have a nickname at New Dimension Comics, and everyone at New Dimension Comics at the stores calls me Babs, because one, I keep my hair dyed red, but two, Batgirl's my favorite, and three, I was working one day. And this gentleman came up to the counter to check out. It wasn't a weird situation like I've had. And he was like, you know who you look like? Oh, here's my kitty cat. He's like, you know who you look like? You look like Barbara Gordon. And I was like, yes. And Travis took my name tag, wrote Babs on it. And then everyone just called me Babs from then on. So
that's true. I don't think Dell actually knew your real name for forever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But yeah, when you moved up near Cranberry, and you came in the store the first time, John Neal, who's the manager there, I was like you walked in, I was like, hey Babs, how's it going? And we started talking, and then he's like, you were like, oh, I'm gonna switch my subscription up to here. And John's like, all right, what's your name? And you're like, you're like Rachel Freeman. And he's like, wait a minute, didn't he call you Babs?
Yep.
So I will just say mine is Stephanie, but I have a very high regard for Barbara. But mostly I mostly liked Barbara when she was Oracle, though. Like that's where I really like attached myself to Barbara as how I in the part of like the version of her that I thought was the most powerful of her writing, which is good because it was Gail Simone. I was really excited that Gail Simone got to bring her back in 52, but I just really liked her as Oracle is my thing. All right,
Barbara Girl is Batgirl, but I got mad respect for Cassandra Cain.
Oh yeah,
also.
She's my second. She's two.
She's two. She's definitely she's two, but she's a badass. Yeah. Like yeah. She probably beat shit out of Batman. So
yeah.
That's so why she's got mad respect from me.
That's why he doesn't talk about her. He's just like, exactly, nope, yeah. You're good over there. All right,
so
all right.
Now we sound like her.
Question number two.
Ready.
If you could cast anyone as Batgirl in the Batgirl movie that has been in limbo forever, who is your dream casting for Barbara Gordon?
That's such a tough one.
I don't even have an answer for this. I was really just curious if you had one. I imagined you would like sit around and think about this all the time. Like, oh, if they have this person, I'm going to be mad. They should go with this person. Yes.
That's a really hard one.
Just say Alicia Silverstone. That'll
oh my
be.
God! Yeah, there you go.
Alicia. Oh. There it is.
Just have her come make her.
That is, yeah. She now that I say it, yeah, she was Batgirl, wasn't she? Not?
She
yeah.
was in. She was.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I said the right
Batman
name.
And Robin, or Batman and Robin.
Yeah, the most terrible one. Yeah, the most terrible one.
The George Clooney one. The really bright neon one. So
listen, we all loved the Ice Age puns.
Yes. Freeze.
It would have to be somebody like I feel like, oh my gosh, what's her name that was just in The Old Guard?
Oh,
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, yeah. But that would have to be like older Babs. Like if it was like,
yeah, she's starting. Seems if too
it was
old
like,
now.
Yeah, like if it was like starting out young Babs.
Oh, hold on! Know. I have someone. Oh. I can't remember what her last name is, so give me a second.
Okay.
Mackenzie Davis. That would be my pick. You have no idea. Okay. Is.
No. You know what? Let's just do what let's just do what everybody else is doing and throw Bobby Brown.
Oh, Millie Bobby Brown.
Maybe Millie yeah. Bobby Brown. Yeah. As
I don't know.
No. As fantastic as she is.
Mackenzie Davis is going to be the new Princess Buttercup in the Princess Bride TV show.
Okay.
She was in Terminator Dark Fate as Grace.
See that.
She was in Halt and Catch Fire as Cameron. She was in Blade Runner 2049 as Mariette.
Huh.
She was in a Black Mirror episode as Yorkie. Cool. Let me see which episode. And San I can never say it right. Japrino, you know what I'm talking about? The one that's like the one where it's kind of like the afterlife, like it's like all the old people and they like they're the younger versions of themselves,
yeah.
In the digital afterlife, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was in The Martian, and let's see. The F word, and in a TV series called I Just Want My Pants Back. She was in an episode of that. So, but she was really like, I just recently watched Terminator Dark Fate, and she was excellent as an action star. Mm-hmm. She's also really tall. She's like 6 foot.
Ooh,
and I feel that that would translate to Barbara Gordon very well. Cause I feel like Batman mm-hmm. has to be like 6'2" in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it balances out.
I also, I just thought of this and I had to look up her name cause I didn't know it. If you haven't watched the Netflix series Cursed,
mm-mm.
That's
I heard it's really
the,
good though.
Yeah. But Catherine Langford is her name that she plays the main character. I think she'd be good too.
Cool.
I think she's done a very good job in that show.
All right, my last question.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, if you could own a cat from any comic book or manga, which cat would it be? Because you're a super cat lady.
I so. Am. Man, that's hard because there's so many. Oh, that's a tough one. Especially because you had to throw manga in there. That
yeah.
opens up so many more options.
All right, do separately. Do a comic book one and then a manga one. How's that? Is that a little easier? At
yes.
least to narrow down the comic book one?
Honestly, comic book one, do Flurkins count? Or does it have to be a cat?
I'll let you honorably mention Chewy.
Chewy. Alright, Chewy. Honorably mention Chewy. Cat from a comic, though. I mean, it would have to be Isis. It would have to be Catwoman's cat.
Nice. Not streaky, like, not speedball or
nope.
furball.
Fun fact, I always like before I got Batman and named him Batman, and he was a boy anyway. Mm. So before we got Shuri, I guess, because Shuri is all black, and you know, namesake is of course Shuri from Black Panther. And
who was also Black Panther.
Who was also Black Panther, yeah. Growing up, I always wanted to get a black cat and name it Isis. But now Isis is kind of associated with a terrorist organization. Mm. So I couldn't name her Isis, but I really wanted to. Cat from a manga / anime, though.
Stumped
another hard
again.
One. I know. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna have to go with Kirara from Inuyasha because she's a demon cat and she transforms into a giant demon cat and I could ride her.
That is the best explanation for having that kind of cat. She is a giant demon cat and I can ride her. That is awesome. So I guess any final thoughts from anybody before we wrap this up? Anybody?
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. We'll be looking forward to your monthly phone calls or weekly phone calls or whatever you're calling to the stores. Cool. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on. Like, we really appreciate it. As always, you're always welcome to come on and hang out. We had a lot of fun. I don't think I've had Bo laughing this hard on any episodes for a long time.
Can I tell you / the listeners a joke before I go?
Sure.
Because mentioned bad jokes, and this is one of my favorite ones to tell people. Did you hear about the zoo that only had a dog?
No.
It was a shih tzu.
Oh, I'm using that later. Like, we're gonna get done with this. I'm gonna go tell my wife that joke. Like, it's hilarious. Oh my god. All right.
You're welcome. So,
thank you. So I'm gonna plug a friend of mine's book, and they're gonna be on the show at some point. We're still working out details. But in this month's previews from Black Box Comics, there's a book called Damn it. Hold on.
That was a really good
one. It is Shino Cage. And Gus Mock and my buddy Neil did it. Gus did all the art. Neil wrote it. They have pitched a really fun idea where they're going to both be on the show. And Gus is going to sketch during it. And somebody's going to win it live. Hopefully we have people watching that time. So that'll definitely be after Thanksgiving. We haven't actually completely solidified our guest list for December, nor have we decided what we're going to do the week of Christmas yet, but we'll get to that soon. So next week it's at 8:00 live, and we are going to have Frank Gogol, the writer of Dead End Kids. He's going to be talking about Dead End Kids Volume 2, which has been solicited. I believe it's not. Yeah. Is it in this preview, Spo?
Yeah, I saw it the other day. It's got to be in his previews, I think.
I was going to say, it's either in this previews or it's the one coming. But that just got announced. He's a really great guy. He did No Heroin as well. Wow, that sounded terrible. He wrote the book No Heroin as well.
It's also great that he didn't do heroin.
It's also great that he did not, in fact, do heroin. But he's a great guy from Source Point Press. We're going to talk to him and pick his brain about some things. Make sure you check that out again. That's next week at 8:00. Then we're going to skip Thanksgiving and we're going to come back with some other stuff. I have a couple other guests lined up that Bo doesn't even know about yet. So this is going to be fun. Because I like to like randomly throw these at Bo and be like, "Who am I going to talk about with this guy? It's going to be weird." So, but make sure you go out and support your local comic shop. It does not have to be New Dimension Comics, but if you're in the Pittsburgh area, make sure you stop by and check us out. But stop by your local comic shop. Make sure you buy some stuff. Keep us all employed. Support your local shop. Support local. Hopefully you guys are prepping for some fun holiday stuff. So I am John, as always. With me, as always, is Bo.
Take care, everybody.
And tonight's special guest and awesome person all around, Rachel Freeman.
Bye.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see everybody next week.